We have to keep it playing a long time tonight because we don't have a whole lot to say.
Just the two of us.
We don't have Sam. We don't have a whole. We have a couple of guests. We don't know how that's going to work, but it's going to be fun. But we'll do our best. We'll laugh a lot and learn a little bit on the Four Outdoorsman. Strewman here. Brandon as our fourth outdoorsman. He's our third and fourth outdoorsman tonight. He's behind the glass taking care of us.
Howdy ho.
Attaboy. Just keep your mic open, pal. We need you. Without Sam, we got nobody.
I'm just going to go say goodbye to the farmer's daughters real quick. So it'll just be a second.
Don't hit any buttons, all right? Don't hit any buttons. Yeah. By the way, he was talking about the farmer's daughters, and they're really, really, really a good group. The first time we saw them was in the studio here maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Who knows, 3 years ago. Who knows what it was. And I videotaped them. Then Diane and I went to watch them at the coming out party for the CD, the military CD we have every year. And I thought, man, it's like Billy Joel's song. What am I doing here? What are you doing here? They're really, really, really good. And I heard something. I don't know the lady's name, but I knew there was two ladies who play in the farmer's daughter.
Yeah.
Daughters and the couple of guys there. And the other lady who is normally with them, don't know her name, I apologize, has a child who just had some kind of open heart surgery or something, and it's not going as well as anticipated. So prayers for whoever that is. But the farmer's daughters, that's a hell of a group. So if you get a chance, listen to these folks, follow them. That's cool. Hey, it's Two Men Here, the Four Outdoors, and Mark Lukey is with us. And like I said, Sam, our buddy Sam, is in Florida.
He is. He's at a shooting competition of some sort. I think it's a 3-gun national shooting competition. We'll get more information on that when he calls in at about 10 after. So, he's going to call in. We have Paul Hartman, our friend, and a gal, Regan, who caught the largest Goliath grouper ever caught by a woman, and she's 16 years old.
You have to be 18 to be a woman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
From a gal.
Okay. All right.
And she's from Farmington, so we're going to learn all about that. I saw it on Fox News, and I knew Paul's, and he posted it, so I sent a message. So they're going to be on later in the show, but how are you? Beautiful weekend this weekend. Strew took me, my brother-in-law Dustin, to his cabin in Chautauqua, and the weather couldn't have been better. The cocktails were flowing. The shish kebabs were delicious.
Oh,
thank
man.
You, Diana.
Yeah.
Diana made us some wonderful food. We took a pontoon ride. And I'll tell you, the absolute highlight of my trip, besides doing pretty well on the golf course, was pulling up to a bar in Wisconsin with people out enjoying themselves.
We're on the pontoon boat cruising, yep. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Live music. I had cheese curds and a tap beer. Man, it felt good. It felt
like
good.
Being home, right back home.
Man, it's been over 4 months since I've been out to eat anywhere.
Yeah,
and I didn't really eat much. Just got cheese curds. Went in Wisconsin, right? Went in Rome. Do as the Romans.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful.
We got so lucky. Yeah, it's. I tell you what, Brandon, Mark is so hard to tie down as far as taking trips. If you say, hey, I'm gonna go on a trip and in 2.5 weeks, he starts shaking because he can't plan that far ahead. I'm telling you, he starts sweating. Oh, I can't plan that far ahead. So either you make a commitment or you don't when you got something like this going on. And I think he got his wife's permission, and he and his brother-in-law and my buddy Bob Krejci, and they came to our place in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. And again, I've said this before, and I mean this sincerely. Next to marrying my beautiful wife, Diana, buying that place was the second best decision that I've ever made. So lucky. Bought it 33 years ago.
Still waiting for my invite.
You can come anytime. We're going. I'm leaving after the show. You want to come?
I got another show I got to do after this show. So
I'll tell you what. We'll get you up there as well because we got all summer. Because, you can plan ahead. Mark can't.
Okay, but
I can't. No, let me defend myself a little bit.
All right.
I have a wife and 3 small, small children, and to my wife's credit, she has never said no to me once. Ever since we had kids or anything, she always says, yeah, go ahead, have fun.
You told me about 3 weeks ago you wanted to make love, and she said no.
Well, I'm talking about trips.
Oh, trips. Trips, I see. That's a different story.
So, I have to be very conscious of that, and I just can't push it. See, you're a retired guy. You ask me to golf 3 times a week. I have a full-time job, a wife and 3 small kids, and believe me, I would love to do every single thing you ask me to do, but I have to meter it out, unfortunately.
April's a great, great lady, and again, give her credit because she holds down the fort and lets Mark be Mark, because I'm not sure how many people would handle Mark being Mark.
Not many.
But anyway, and I understand that because when we golf, you're talking, it's not just the round of golf. It's an hour to get there. It's a round of golf. It's an hour after. And you're away from three kids and your wife for all that time. So I appreciate it when you do make it. So, but what's cool about our place, we got lucky. We bought it for $32,000 in 1987. And it's nothing special, but we take care of it. Only has 20 feet of lakeshore, but how much do you need? And it's on a chain of six lakes in Chautauqua. And there's six restaurants and pubs where you just enjoy
yourself.
Now, that's
fun. Yeah, like I got a cabin just outside of Annandale on French Lake. You guys are invited. We got to have a Bob Outdoors night out there. It would be a lot of fun, too. But that's just one isolated lake. I love the idea of being on a chain of lakes. That's a lot of opportunity, a lot of fun.
It's turned out pretty well. So very lucky. And we talked about, Mark talked about golf. We played two rounds of golf. We get up there at Turtleback Golf Course in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. It's one of my top five public courses that I like
to play.
Beautiful
course.
Beautiful. And it's the first time Mark's ever been there, and his brother-in-law, Dustin, came with us, teed off about 9:15. On a Friday, there's hardly anybody there. We can take our time, have a great time, and we had so much fun, and it moved so well that we played 27 holes. I called my wife and told her we're going to be back in an hour and a half or something later on.
Well, you got to ask your wife.
No, I told her. See, I told my wife. No, Diana, I'm just kidding. No, but Diana was making shish kebab, remember?
You say that so weird.
Shish kebab.
Shish.
Well,
shish.
It's kind of like, what's the word I said with the R's a couple days ago? Last?
Jalapeno. Or
No. Arro. Something arro. I forget what it was. I can roll my R's. And yeah, but so we get home
Habanero.
After that. What was that?
Habanero.
Habanero. I love habanero.
I had some habaneros.
I don't know what habanero is. But anyway, so we get back to the cabin, and my sweet wife, Diana, is cooking shish kebab on the grill. And we all sit down and have a beer or something, and shish kebab was just so neat. Then we hop on the weather was perfect. Hop on the pontoon and show these guys the tour of the lakes where the tornado came through 3 years ago in Chautauqua and destroyed a lot. And it's coming back, but it's never going to come back, if you know what I'm talking about. Then stopped, had a great time at Gilligan's for a little bit, came back and sat around the campfire and pretend like we were big shots. We just then got up Saturday morning and drove to Osceola to play Crooked Creek, the four of us. And Diana couldn't wait for us to leave. So, see you, boys. Take a hat. Yeah. Want me to help clean up? No, get your ass out. No, we don't need you. We don't need you, she says. So we played Crooked Creek. Now, Mark is a pretty good athlete. He's an average golfer, but shines once in a while, and he hits some shots you would not believe. He shot an 89 at Crooked Creek, which is a very, very difficult course, and that's shooting a 7 and an 8 on the back 9, which means front 9 was like a 43, and it's like, oh, my Lord. But everyone, you know how we always complain about little things? Oh, if that would have happened. Oh, doggone it, I got a bad break. Run hole number 13. It's a very hard. It's number 3 handicap. He's about 140 yards out. And you have to stay to the right because there's crap all over the place. Oh, he stays to the right. He's about 50 feet to the right of the green into a grove of trees. You hear it clunk. Oh, and all of a sudden it bounces on the green. It bounces right on the green. It could have gone any place.
That's like some.
I was like the bishop in Caddyshack that day.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm having the best game of my life. Yeah. We have Sam on the phone now. Sam, can you hear us, buddy?
Yes, sir. What's up, boys?
Well, we miss you, man. It's there's a lot less. It feels a lot more roomy here in the studio without you. And Stru's sitting next to me, which he hasn't done in a very long time, so I'm a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I miss you, boys, for sure. Miss being in there.
Are you on the way home yet?
What's that?
Are you on the way home?
No, I leave tomorrow. I'll be home tomorrow night. Been down here since Tuesday morning.
Talk about Mark and I were talking about. He was talking about. What a great lady April is to let him do some of the things he does with three little kids at home. Your wife, Kirsten, is just the same kind of lady because you got four little kids at home, and it's your privilege. You guys are both very, very blessed. And you are someplace special. What's happening down in what's the name of that town? Frost-free.
I'm in Frost-proof.
Frost-proof, Florida.
Isn't all Florida frost-proof? Yep.
I don't know. I want to live there.
It's about an hour south of Orlando, like directly south of Orlando. It's honestly, it reminds me of like the a flat plains in Wisconsin, a farmland. It's crazy. You do not feel like you're in Florida. You kind of more feel like you're in the bayou.
Well, speaking of the bayou, where there's a lot of shooting going on, why don't you tell us what's happening down in Frost-proof, Iowa, Florida?
Yeah, actually, so I've been down here since Tuesday. A couple things have been happening. The first part of the week was what they call the Ambassador Academy, and it's all these giant influencers and big names in the shooting world come down and they learn how to better themselves on social media. They learn how to better themselves with interviews, how to get more sponsors, how to be, you know, a great brand ambassador. So it's actually Di and Ryan Mueller are some of the biggest names in the industry. They're sponsored by Benelli and Leupold and Fiocchi, and they put on this Ambassador Academy. So that was the first 3 days. And then starting on Friday was the Sig Sauer Multi-Gun National Match. And for those listeners who don't know, it's pretty much a three-gun match. So there's 12 different stages that you use a pistol, a rifle, and a shotgun. So there's different targets designed for different guns. And you literally, a buzzer starts, and some of these guys are ripping 30 to 50 shots off with three different guns in 45 to 50 seconds.
That's crazy. Now, I was reading something about it, like the past shows down there. What is this thing called? It's the SIG something. What's it called?
It's the SIG Multi-Gun National Championship.
You know, they had some competitions like if you're going to be shooting skeet or those clay pigeons, whatever you want to call those, they had these people throwing them up themselves and trying to shoot them. And I don't know how many they had to shoot so many in so many minutes, whatever it was, that kind of thing. That's got to be difficult. And then there were some target ranges or some competition where I think some of those rifle shots were 300 yards, something like that.
Yeah, so they have, like I said, the shotgun, rifle, and pistol. So they kind of set up the stages with, like, you know, fake walls and targets. It's like a quote-unquote tactical situation. There's one where you have to run around this river. You have to shoot 15 clays on the ground or on a stand with a shotgun, and then you got to jump into the back of a school bus, lay on your belly, and shoot six targets that are out 400, and then they have out all the way out to 640 yards. And that's after you ran about 300 yards shooting. These guys are incredible to watch.
Would you pass out?
I wouldn't make it through the first stage. I yelled medic 3 times, and I'm just carrying a camera.
Hey, did you get a chance to do any shooting yourself?
We did at the Ambassador Academy. We got to shoot some full auto stuff and do some fun scenario stuff. The Ambassador Academy was actually held at a place that's called Tactical Disneyland. And
Tactical what? Disneyland?
Yeah, Tactical Disneyland. And it's a guy who actually owns a private land on where his house lives, and he put about $3 or $4 million into different buildings, different ranges, and he teaches people how to survive in a street scenario. Like, he'll actually set up like a fake gas station and have someone come and try and rob you, and he teaches all these people to defend yourself. So I did get to do some shooting there and some fun stuff. But at the match, I'm just watching. But talking to a few people, I'm definitely going to get into this sport for sure.
Why are you down there?
Doing my thing, Stu. I'm schmoozing. I'm shaking hands and kissing babies.
I know that you were supposed to give a speech, and you were a little nervous about it, about sales. How did that go?
It went good. It went smooth. Kind of went off the cuff, which I'm best at, and they wanted me to teach, you know, how to build relationships and how to network. You know, that's what I was taught at a young age by my dad, how to, you know, when you shake a hand, you mean it. And so I kind of talked to these ambassadors on how to, you know, respect themselves, respect the brand, but don't be afraid to go shake someone's hands and introduce yourself.
Hey,
that's how I got where I'm at.
So you have some clients down there, apparently.
Yep, I do.
I know, boy. Well, throw a few names out. Go ahead, pal. Make some money.
Yeah. So we got Weber Tactical down here, which Weber Tactical is a holster company. They own the three-gun, multi-gun market. He has about 80% share of this market. There was 170 shooters in this event, and like I said, 70 to 80% of them all had Weber Tactical. And in the past year, he came out with a civilian, quote-unquote civilian, you know, carry and outside-the-waistband holster. So Weber Tactical is the main one down here. I have Nemo Arms, which is a rifle company down here. That's actually it for this week. So,
you know, I would really be interested in giving this a shot myself, but I would be eliminated before I even started because I only have 2 guns. So I can't make it, pal.
So you know how we, like, you know, guys spend money on, you know, golf bags and golf clubs, and, you know, you got the nice big pole carts. These guys, like, there's the pros, they call them the super squads. You know, there's probably 20 or 30 of them. They literally, so I'm standing in the middle of these stations. I mean, it's probably 600 yards long, and the stations go out each way. They literally have, like, UTVs, which everyone down here calls them a buggy. They jump in their buggy, and they literally drive 15 yards to the next station. And the back of these 8 UTVs are just, like, mini gun vaults. Like, they can work on a gun right there. I mean, some of these guys took old, like, car or baby, what are they called? Like, a little, where you push a baby in, I can't think of it.
A stroller.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have 4 kids, Sam.
They literally customize it and put, like, Colpin gun mounts on it so they can go from station to station with all their guns. It's hilarious.
This is a competition. Does somebody win money on this competition?
Yeah, so they actually, I just walked away from the ceremony. They have a beautiful steak dinner come in cater. I mean, it's 95 degrees. I'm sweating. I'm full of sweat, but I ate steak and potatoes, which is exactly what you want to eat in this weather. So they had staked in it. They did a ceremony. They actually had a live band. So to answer your question, what they do, they're broken down into, like, 6 divisions. And if you place in the divisions, the bigger divisions, they'll do top 10. You get to pick a prize off what they call the prize table. And there could be anywhere from $5,000 items down to a $50 gift card. So the bigger winners get to pick first. And the nice thing about it is a lot of these pro guys, they will leave, like, the bigger prizes for the young shooters because, I mean, they're fully sponsored. You know?
Yeah.
Some of these guys make a couple hundred grand a year to shoot. I mean, there's a team called the AMUs, which is the Army Marksman Unit down here, and there's 8 of them. And they are literally in the Army to travel the world to shoot competitions.
Wow. That's a pretty good gig.
Oh, yeah, and these guys are flat out amazing. So anyway, yeah, they get to pick the prize table, and so pretty much if your name's called, everyone gets a prize. Every competitor gets, like, a gift bag with a bunch of fun stuff in them. I mean, they really take care of the shooters. It's a huge growing sport. The one thing that I can't believe is how many women and junior shooters there are.
Wow.
I mean, the squad we were following, there was a 66-year-old lady who was competing. And she was very, very good.
Is there a team from PETA down there?
What's that?
Is there a team from PETA down there?
There is not.
Oh, I didn't think so. Hey, Sammy boy, we got to wrap this up. It's almost break time. Then we got Regan Werner on. I don't know if you read this story. Maybe you saw my promo, but Regan's going to be a hell of a story. Caught that 500-pound grouper. She's going to be next on the 4 Outdoorsman. Sam, get back safely, will you, pal?
Yeah, miss you guys. I'll see you next week.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Be back with Regan Werner, I think it is. A lot of stories. Bye-bye.
The 4 Outdoorsmen. Just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
Devil's Lake Tourism invites you to the wonderful world of the outdoors. Not only is there jumbo perch, there's fantastic walleye fishing with no slot limit and 10 in possession, and there's more. Plenty of hiking trails, world-class hunting, great eateries, hotels, even a nearby casino. There is literally something for everyone who loves the outdoors. You need to find out why Devil's Lake has been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the United States. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota. If you need a Northern Minnesota family vacation, then Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park just might be it. Balsam Beach is the exclusive resort on the 2,500 pristine acres of Lake Plantagenet with not only superb fishing, but plenty of family activities as well. Water sports, camping, hiking, everything is dedicated to your family. And Patty and Clint were awarded Resorters of the Year in 2019. It's time to find out why. Balsam Beach, a wonderful place with wonderful people.
Bison Steel Buildings is recognized as the industry leader in all steel buildings, providing the highest quality buildings on the market today at factory direct pricing. Made with 100% American steel and built in the USA with 50-year structural warranty. Pre-order now and save thousands. Take delivery whenever you're ready. Custom made for your building needs, shop, storage, or warehouse. For a free quote or for more information, go to bisonsteel.com. You dream it, we build it. Bison Steel Buildings. Minnesota Buildings for Minnesota people.
It's Neil here. You know, there's nothing more important than clean. That's why you should call Zero Res today. Cleaning is what they do best, and they're here to help. And don't forget about your air ducts. Before your AC is running at full capacity this summer, make sure the years of built-up dust, dirt, and allergens are removed from your air ducts. Call Zero Res now at 952-ZERO-RES or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Bob FM special, 3 rooms of carpet pre-treated and cleaned, starting at just $149. That's Zero Res.
A colorful botanical garden right in your own backyard this summer? Sure, why not? Lowe's makes it easy to discover what's possible, and you don't have to wait to see the results either. Start from the ground up and add color with Scott's Mulch, 5 for $10. Pick up annual hanging baskets and enjoy flowers already in bloom, 2 for $10. Summer is open. Download the Lowe's app and discover what's possible at home. Offers valid 6/11 through 6/24 in store only. While supplies last, selection varies by location. U.S. only, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Hey, we're back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman, Mark Lukey, Sam is gone. He's in, what's it called? Frostproof Florida.
Frostproof Florida. What a weird name for a Florida town.
You know, it sounds like it'd be like Mayberry, yeah, but apparently it's not.
Hurricane-proof Minnesota.
I like frostproof cities, especially in January. Yeah. I wouldn't mind being down in Florida in January. But yeah, Sam, thanks for checking in, and we'll see you next Sunday. In the meantime, we've got a pretty special guest. Brandon, who do we have on the line right now?
Oh, we got your friend Regan on the line.
Regan, are we friends? He said we're friends.
Are you there,
yeah.
Regan? Yeah. Yeah, we're all friends here now, right?
I guess so. Yeah. Hey, Regan, hang on it now. The last caller we had said that we sounded kind of muffled, so let me know if we're not coming through clearly, because Brandon the magician can figure that out real quickly behind the glass. So, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you guys are pretty muffled. It's kind of hard to hear.
Okay, I'll speak slowly, and we'll pretend like we're professionals here, all right?
Okay. All
right. Hey, now, Regan Werner, it's W-E-R-N-E-R, right? Is that your last name, Werner?
Yeah, Werner.
All right, tell us. We all know the story. The whole world knows this story. But tell us about your background. Where do you live? Where were you born and raised? Those kind of things.
I play 3 varsity sports, hockey, lacrosse, and tennis. I'm a tennis captain.
Are you that good?
Huh?
Are you that good?
Yeah. I would say I'm pretty decent.
Yeah. Are you going to be a junior this year?
I'm going to be a junior, yeah.
Okay, well, good for you to be considered to be a captain of the Farmington High School tennis team. If you're only a sophomore, they probably just made you a captain as a junior. But congratulations, that's good for you. Now, you mentioned to me earlier that your coach as a ninth grader was Jack Olwell. And Jack Olwell happens to be a great friend of mine. I was best man in his wedding when we went to Hamline University. And so I said hi to Jack. And Jack acknowledged you, so it's a small world. Let's talk about your fishing career. Have you been fishing your entire life?
Yeah, but not for, like, big fish, just sunnies off the dock.
Well, how did you end up down in the Gulf of Mexico to fish for grouper? And were you fishing for grouper?
Well, we were going down to pick up our boat from our friend's house, so we drove our RV down there, and then we started fishing.
But I read someplace, I read this story, I did not see you on the news, but I read this story that the gentleman who was down there, who was giving you all the information, said, you guys better not go out because the water might be choppy.
Yeah.
And you guys went anyway.
Yeah, we did. We go out fishing. How to do it.
Well, who was in charge of the boat?
Paul, my stepdad.
Your stepdad, all right.
And our second guest.
Captain.
Yeah, yeah, and by coincidence, Paul is our second guest because he's got some other stories to tell as well. You have never gone fishing in the ocean, have you?
I went one time for over spring break last year, but it was only for 2 hours because the storm got us.
Okay. So how far did you have to go? And where did you go out of? What part of Florida did you go out of?
Marco Island.
Ooh, my wife's been to, I've never been to Marco Island, but my wife's been there, and she loved it. She said the beaches were phenomenal. Yeah, it sounds like the beautiful, I'd probably just sit on the beach, you know, but anyway, yeah. So how far out were you fishing?
45-50-ish miles.
How long did
that's a long way.
There's a lot of water there, man. Why go out 50 miles?
Yeah, we went to a tower.
What do you mean? There's a tower in the water?
Yeah, like an old oil tower thing.
Okay, so it might have been like a crappie creek in the Chautauqua Channel Lakes or something that it might draw some of those bigger fish. How long did it take you to get out there, 45 or 50 miles?
Like an hour and a half after we caught bait.
Jeepers, creepers. That's a long way to go. Okay, tell us the story. Now, I don't know what you were using. I don't know anything about deep sea fishing like that. Tell us the whole story of what you were using and what happened.
So first we caught our bait inshore, and then we went out to the tower, and then we caught some barracuda and some amberjack. And then after we caught the barracuda, we cut it up. We cut it in half, put it on a line, and threw it down the bottom.
So how big was your bait that you put on there when you dropped it down to the bottom? You're saying a half?
Like half a barracuda.
You got to be kidding me. So that had to be a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet of bait. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to catch something big. You got to. All right, so when did you know? Now, I read something about cameras as well that could look down in the water a little bit. Explain something about the cameras that were attached to your fishing line.
Oh, yeah, we had an aquafinder, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. And then we dropped that down the bottom, too. And then you have to use those when it's super calm. So that was, like, the only day we could, like, use the aquafinder.
Now, Regan, you broke up a little bit because you moved away from your microphone from your cell phone. Tell that again about the restrictions concerning the camera.
Oh, yeah. So the water has to be, like, perfectly calm to use the aquafinder.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at the forecast, and the day, like, the first day we went out was the only day we were going to be able to use it.
So how deep does that camera work? Does it work all the way to the bottom, and how deep were you fishing?
About 60 feet we fished, and it goes all the way to the bottom.
So you actually saw the grouper maybe even before you caught the grouper?
Yeah, we saw it, like, take the bait.
You got to be kidding me.
Wow. Yeah, it was super cool.
Oh, you think? You know, there's no chance there's a video of that, is there? That's impossible.
Yeah, my brother saw it on the screen, and he jumped.
How old is your brother?
He's 19.
Okay, so let's go like this. I know it's supposed to be a world record or something for a female fisher person, and congratulations for that. But why did you have the opportunity to bring it in? Why didn't your brother Owen have an opportunity to do so?
Because I was the one that was, like, holding the rod, like, in my lap, and I was just the first one to the rod.
There you go. There you go.
Smart yeah. girl.
Well, she runs lacrosse. She plays tennis. She's faster than hell.
Yeah.
Good for you, guy. So how long did it take to bring it up? And your dad, your stepdad, Paul Hartman, obviously he does this often, and that's kind of cool. How soon did he realize that this might be something that's really going to be special?
I think it was, like, the fight was about 15 minutes long, I think. And I think in the first, like, 3 minutes, he's like, Regan, this is going to be a big fish. Like, this isn't a little one. This is definitely going to be your biggest fish ever.
Were you belted in, strapped in,
yeah.
harnessed?
Well, I wasn't at first. And then we had to, like, struggle to find a belt. And the funny thing is that the belt that I put on was the biggest size, and it did not fit me whatsoever.
Well, I would not think. I would think not, actually. But so it took you 15 minutes to get in.
Yeah.
You had to have some help because that had to just be brutal on your arms.
Yeah, my brother helped me. I was sitting down in the front of the boat for most of the fight. And then my brother Owen, he, like, helped, like, pick up the rod, and then I was, like, reeled down to it and stuff.
Were you concerned about falling in the water?
Yeah, our edges of our boat are, like, super short, so I was like, oh, I'm going in.
What did Paul do during this time? Did he have an opportunity to help you as well, or did Owen help you?
Mostly Owen. Paul had to keep driving the boat because the current kept, like, taking us towards the tower, and the fish kept, like, going towards the tower, too.
So you had to, yeah, you had to follow that fish and keep it away from the tower, I suppose. And
yeah.
Once it got away from the tower, you kind of let it go on its own, maybe, and take a break and let them just do its thing. What did this fish actually weigh?
I think, well, we couldn't weigh it exactly, but we took the length and the girth, and I think it was like 568 or something like that.
You know, and I read that, and that's interesting. I imagine you can figure out about what this fish weighs within probably 5-10 pounds if you look at the length and the girth and all that. So by the girth, you're talking about the entire circumference around the fish, right?
Yeah.
Well, how did you measure that?
Well, we took, like, a rope,
wow.
Like a stringing rope, and then Paul just, like, measured, like, remembered where the rope was, where it, like, ended, and then he measured it once the fish, like, got released.
Well, I think Paul should come fishing with me and measure my fish.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's also interesting about this, if I read the article correctly, and this, you, Mark, I'm sure, Mark Lukey's my buddy here, my partner on the left-hand side, and Brandon is also on the show, he's behind the glass there, but I read that fish is like 560 pounds. I know how big it was, and we'll ask you that question as well. But the record before them was like 370 pounds. You beat the record by almost 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Is that just in Florida area, Gulf of Mexico, or do you think that is on record?
I think it might be the record.
Well, geez. If I were you, I would have lied to everybody and said I was fishing with a Rapala. And you could make, you'd be on every television commercial in the world promoting Rapala lures or something like
yeah.
that. Well, how exciting for you. Now, listen, is this also true? This was the first fish you ever caught in the ocean? I mean, the
yes.
first?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Besides the bait. I mean.
Well, where do you go from here? Are you going to quit?
No, I ended up catching a 14-foot shark, too.
14-foot?
A 14-foot shark, that's a big shark. Hey, when you, now, the grouper you could not bring into the boat.
Correct,
I know
yeah.
There's a record, okay, I caught it, okay, we caught this. What is the definition, and you probably don't know this, what's the definition of catching it? Getting it to the boat, is that good enough? And that's considered to be, because you can't bring it in the boat.
What we do is, if you touch the leader, it's count as a caught.
Well, that's the rule. Now we
yeah.
know the rule. We learn more on this show by accident than most people do by design. That was from Joe Sushre years ago. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So who had the honor, the first person or the person to touch the leader?
Paul did. Everything with the fish.
Yeah, he had
he
to get his...
it and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that is funny. Now, do you get a chance to go to, like, the Gulf of Mexico every year with Paul?
No, this is my first time because I usually have, like, hockey and stuff.
Yeah.
Or lacrosse or whatever the sport is of that season.
Do you guys ever play? I have a daughter who's just turned 16 just a couple of months ago, and she plays hockey for the Chisago Wildcats. Do you guys play Chisago once in a while?
No, I don't think we've ever played them.
Well, good, because they would kick your. No, they would. No. No, they're good. No, they're a 500 team, and she's a good hockey player, and she's a lot of fun. Good for you. Now, listen, I heard about you also. Paul was saying you must have a horseshoe in your back pocket. Tell us a little bit about a Lake Michigan trip you went on, and he said you caught something that was bigger than most.
Oh, yeah. So we went, I think it was like 3 or 4 years during Memorial Weekend to Lake Michigan because we have a lot up there. And I caught a 58-pound salmon.
Jesus. And I think Paul was telling me, that's your stepdad, Paul Hartman, he was
yeah.
telling me that based on his information at that time, it was not only the biggest salmon that was caught by that charter, but anybody in the entire year of all the charters, that was the biggest salmon caught in the entire Lake Michigan Lake. And who catches it? Regan Werner. You know, my God. Do you realize how blessed you are, young lady?
Yeah, I am.
You know, I'm a stepdad to 3 kids. Your stepdad takes you to the Gulf of Mexico to catch 500-pound grouper. I had a chance to take my kids to a hunting shack in Ely, Minnesota, and I made them pay for the gas. So you are a very, very lucky young lady. Hey, Regan, I'll tell you what, congratulations. You know, I'm excited for you. Keep on fishing. Just keep on doing the things outdoors. And we'd love to have you on again. We need to catch your 30-inch walleye or something. We want to hear the story, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thank
I'm excited for you. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Thank you.
You bet. Take care of yourself, young lady. That's a special girl. No, she's captain of the tennis team. She plays lacrosse. She plays, what was the other one?
Hockey.
Hockey. And she's going to be a junior. And she's fishing. That's a good lady there.
Yeah, incredible experience. I mean, in the age of social media, she must be like the queen of her school now, you think?
Oh, she's got all these guys all over her. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Brandon, what was, you enjoy fishing,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah.
What was your most exciting fishing story, whether you caught it or lost it?
It would have been a different story up until the moment I went fishing with the Grizz. I mean, I don't know how you top being in a boat with the Grizz. Yeah, that by far. I mean, we were just pulling them out of the water, and I learned a lot just from one afternoon of fishing with that guy. Same with Larry Hansen. So as far as I've never caught anything like remarkable, like but every catch is fun. Like, I mean, the fight's great, that the drama of pulling her in and, seeing it like, don't jump. And, getting it. It's great. So, I mean, anytime you get out on the water and get to do some fishing, I think it's a win. But,
what you said makes a whole lot of sense, because I just came back from a couple of trips with sort of professional guys who do it their entire life. I mean, Kurt Wahlbeck is a professional. Jerry James is just Jerry James, the backwoods fisherman. But these guys, I had the same gear, and we're in the same boat and all that. And they're bringing them in, and they're, the touch and the feel, and they do earn their money.
Well, like I said kind of earlier, my family has a cabin outside of Annandale, so I grew up fishing. We on the water all the time. The lake did really stop producing at one point. We kind of jokingly referred to it as the Dead Sea, but, so I kind of just fell out of love with fishing just because it just wasn't, productive for me. But, and then also the gear I was using was cheap or old, definitely not top of the line, and like getting one to use one of the Grizz's rods, and I felt like it was an extension of my body. I could feel the jig, down there, and like the bottom, like it was really sensitive, and I was like, oh man,
you should write copy for pole commercials.
It was great. That made a huge difference, and I kept relating it to music. I mean, I play guitar and stuff like that, and it's like kind of like that. Like if your experience is just playing a beat up, hammy down, I mean, you can play them and you can get tunes out of them. You can catch a fish with a stick and a string and a hook,
Right.
But when you hold like a Taylor acoustic guitar or like a sweet Telecaster or a Gibson Les Paul, something really, really nice, that's a different ball game. It feels different in your hands. The strings touch all differently. And that's what it was like using one of those rods. I mean, I felt like I was really using some quality gear.
You're describing your old fishing gear. It compares to Mark Lukey's golf clubs.
Yeah, probably, yeah. And my golf clubs, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think he made him a wood shop in high school or something like that.
I never bought a club.
You never bought a club. It just, it's all hand-me-down.
You just get them. Me either, yeah.
How much time we got? I got a story to tell. You got time?
A minute. Well, I mean, it's kind of time. How quick's your story?
Yeah, I can read this in a minute.
Nail it. Go for it.
Outdoor News, our favorite newspaper. A man was mauled by a grizzly in Bozeman, Montana. Bear mauled this guy. He's a biker. This is a bad day. He's 60-some years old. He's on a trail, and he's just taking a bike ride on his birthday. Peter Schilling was biking alone on his 61st birthday, May 25th, and the bear came out of nowhere and took him down. And unfortunately, he is in serious condition. This is rare. It's just a wrong place, wrong time. Critical stable condition. His injuries include major cranial and facial reconstruction. His jaw's wired shut.
Oof.
Suffered a punctured lung, broken ribs. He's living. He's still in critical condition. And this is as May 25th, all because he's riding a bicycle on a trail in Bozeman, Montana, and the bear was in the wrong place in the wrong time.
Those things can move.
That's a bad day, man.
Well, anytime I hear of a bear attack, it reminds me of that Todd. I'll never forget the name. Todd Orr was that guy. The video went viral of him. He had to walk miles back to his vehicle after being mauled by a bear twice. And, his head was, kind of hanging off. Like, it was just brutal. He was his arm. Yeah.
Regan's throwing up right now, but she's listening to the show, and she's throwing up right now. Hey, we had a guest early on in our radio show career here, Brandon Johnson, and we had a one-hour show when he got attacked by a bear. You want to push the button, go ahead and do so, but there we go. But we had a one-hour show, and we extended it to 1.5 hours because he told the story about him getting attacked by a bear.
Yeah, how do you cut that off? Yeah, we're going to go with that story. Yeah, we need to get every detail.
We're going to get that back in the air. Be right back with Paul Hartman.
Bob FM, home of the CD Spark Waves of Freedom giveaway. Listen for your keyword to win Monday morning at 7:50. Bob FM.
The team at Devil's Lake Tourism does all they can to make sure you have a great experience. More importantly, they want you to be safe. Until it's certain that the coronavirus is in check, please stay close to home and take care of your family. When the time is right, all the hunting and fishing opportunities will still be there. Everyone at Devil's Lake Tourism truly thanks you for your support. But for now, stay home and stay informed with devilslakend.com. Thanks, and be safe.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
5 miles south of Bemidji is Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park, and it's all about families with 8 cabins and 30 campsites. Lake Plantagenet is the home of the Minnesota record 3-pound, 4-ounce perch and a gillnet survey with 19 walleyes per net, one of the very highest counts in the state. This place truly is a family dream. Find out why Balsam Beach Resort was awarded Resort of the Year in 2019. You can find their 2020 brochure at balsambeachresort.com, and we thank you.
Need a cotton washable mask? Twin Cities Upholstery has shifted some of their production to creating masks in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Order your mask now at TwinCitiesUpholstery.com. Twin Cities Upholstery in Fridley. That's TwinCitiesUpholstery.com.
TJ Associates Printing and Graphics Solutions in Ramsey is the area's premier printing and graphics company. From traditional printing of business cards, brochures, banners, invitations, and more, call on TJ Associates for your business and personal printing and graphic needs.
Has your concrete floor, patio, or basement floor seen better days? The Concrete Guy is Minnesota's premier indoor and outdoor concrete coating specialist. Get beautiful concrete coating starting at $5. Learn more at ConcreteGuyMN.com.
Hey, it's Jeff Jones from your No Repeat Workday, and I want you to come hunting with me. I've got a hunt that won't trigger guilt from your boss or from your other half. Reach for Resources Cackle and Spur Charity Pheasant Hunt takes place Wednesday, September 30th at both Sandpine Pheasants and Gold Meadows Hunting Reserve. The day includes 5 birds per person, cleaned and packaged, catered lunch, a guide with 2 dogs, and many prizes, including 11 guns. We've also added an exciting European hunt this year. Register at reachforresources.org. That's reachforresources.org.
Total Country Bob FM.
Brandon gave us the thumbs up. Thanks, Brandon. We're going to talk with Paul Hartman right now. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I sure am. How are you guys today?
Every day is a gift. I say it every day, and I mean it sincerely. And having you on the show is a gift. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Those are words to live by. I'm glad to hear it.
Yep. I tell you what. How have you been?
Excellent. We decided to head out to Owosso today. I haven't been out here in probably 5 years. We were going to go round up a half dozen muskies, and apparently I was being over-optimistic because we've got a couple tiny little pike, and it's a little breezy out here, but Minnetonka, I think, would have been a madhouse, and with all the wind, it would have been a little choppy out there. So we're enjoying a beautiful day and taking each fish as we get it, but they aren't quite what we came here for.
Hey, Paul, it's producer Mark here. Thanks for answering my text about the story and getting your stepdaughter on. That was fun. I hope she had a good time.
Oh, my gosh, super awesome. Yeah, we were out here listening. We were able to find the station online, and you guys did a great job. She was enthusiastic. She was probably doesn't appreciate the size of the fish she's catching, and she might be getting some of them wrong. We have to rein in the shark one. We did get a 14.5-foot shark out there last year, a year and a half ago, that was a tiger shark that was estimated at 1,100-pound state record fish. The one she got that she referred to as 14-foot was a 90 to 100-pound black tip, though, so not quite 14-foot.
Well, you're teaching all about fishing, about exaggerating sizes and everything. You're doing a great job.
Well, it fought like a 17-footer in her defense. He got it on 20-pound spinning gear, so basically a glorified or slightly larger than a walleye outfit, and she played it perfectly and ended up getting the fish and took her about about a half hour to land a fish that I think most people on shark gear would take a half hour to land.
I would love to have her in studio someday just to learn something about it. Mark, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to give a little background. Paul, I first met you probably 8 years ago before even we did the radio show, and we've been doing this for a long time. Do you remember we'd always do promos with Terry Train to promote the Muskie Expo?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, she was out there every year, big part of the show, and she always did her Friday Live appearance out there, and it was a blast to have her on.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was great to meet you, and it's cool that we can keep in touch. And once I saw you on Facebook, I'm like, man, I got to reach out again. But it's been a long time, so thanks for joining us. Now, did you guys have the Muskie Expo this year, or was it canceled because of COVID?
We did not. There was a Wisconsin Muskie Expo the weekend before. They were able to pull it off, and I was crossing my fingers. We had to make it 2 weeks, and the governor shut everything down. So Monday coming into the show, they said, the college said, you can have it as long as the governor doesn't restrict anything. And I think 2 days later, they shut everything down. So we literally ended up with the sheet pulled out from underneath us just a couple days before it all was supposed to happen.
Oh, that's a bummer. Yeah, we worked with Outdoor News, and that, of course, was canceled. Their show was canceled on that Friday, so they had 1 day. It's just a bummer. I know that a lot of you guys depend on those shows to see that go away. What did you hear from the Muskie community? Was it a shock to them? Has it really affected their business? A lot of those guys that, you know, fly in and have, you know, $100 hand-painted lures, and I'm sure that's a big show for them.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a disappointment. I mean, I think a lot of them were just thinking it was early. They knew things would get bad, but at the time, I think Minnesota had, I believe, 15 fatalities and a couple hundred cases. So
right.
People were thinking, if we got 6 million people here and, you know, a couple hundred have it, is it really dangerous? But it was the right thing to do, and we're trying to prevent it on the front side rather than deal with the repercussions on the back side. And,
right. So muskie fishing just opened up across the state recently. What's your forecast for this year? How do you think it looks? I know that licenses are way up for fishing overall. Do you see the lakes being busier and a lot of people targeting muskies?
They are. Minnetonka was a madhouse. Ben Olson, the guy I bought the boat from, he lives on Minnetonka, and he said out there last weekend for the opener, it was just overrun with boats. He went out at 7 o'clock, caught his muskie by 8 o'clock, and was cooking his wife breakfast by 9. But he said there was multiple boats on every spot. I had friends up on Mille Lacs, and I want to say Walk-On Bay had more than 80 boats just in the bay alone. During the heyday, we would maybe have 100 on the whole lake during the summer peak on Mille Lacs. So to see that many in one bay for opener, it's just everyone's gone stir crazy, and they're hitting the water hard. Out here today, we're the only boat out here fishing, so that's kind of fun. But otherwise, we were out yesterday. We went over to Bryant Lake, and boy, they were hitting it hard over there. And people are they're anxious to get out, and people have been cooped up. They're enthusiastic. Yesterday was supposed to be the Metro Muskie Tournament. I put that on 23 years, and we had to pull the plug on it, so that was kind of disappointing. Normally, there's about 500 people that participate in that one, but this year, same thing with fishing restrictions for tournaments. Right up until a couple weeks ago, I didn't think I could pull it off, and also sponsorship. We depend a lot on resorts, and
right.
they can't predict what's going to happen, whether they can get across the Canadian border to honor these trips, and Abu Garcia and Pure Fishing have been part of it for a long time, and they couldn't commit with how things have been so crazy for retail, too. So,
hey, Paul, you talked about the Metro Muskie Fishing Tournament. What is that fishing tournament for?
It's on 26 local lakes. It's $35 for an entry fee, so it's just kind of a throw your name in the hat and go out there and see what happens. And I think we've only had a couple repeat winners in all the years. It's always just some guy that's had his first two fish day or got the biggest fish of his life that ends up winning, it seems. And just kind of a fun event, and it's kind of a photo document type tournament, and everyone meets up at Thorn Brothers, and we download all the photos and do an award ceremony. And like I said, normally each year we have over 500, and this year my phone rang off the hook with people trying to be innovative in ways we could make it happen. And I just said we didn't have the sponsor support to put it all together this time.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I know this is about you, Paul. We're talking with Paul Hartman from Blaine, Minnesota. But, Mark, talk about the virtual fishing tournament that you and Ron Scherer Productions put on just a couple of weeks ago because they couldn't do any fishing tournament. The crappie contest was your big one. And you made some money, but
we had to cancel your tournament. We had to cancel the Minnesota Bound Crappie Contest after 52 years. This is the first time we ever have to cancel it. So we switched over to Fish Donkey. I'm sure you've heard of that, Paul. But we basically turned it to a virtual tournament with no weigh-in or no party afterwards. And that's the biggest part of some of these tournaments is meeting up somewhere afterwards, whether it's a virtual tournament or not. Sounds like you guys did that too, but it's hard to throw something like this where you can't all get together. You know what I mean?
No, it's part of the fun, and I remember as a kid going to Lake Minnetonka and that one when Shara was doing that way back when, and it was Holiday Sports was the big sponsor, and they bring in these 2-pound crappies, and as a young angler, you just sit around mesmerized by the size of fish people are pulling out of the lake.
Hey, you were talking about we've had a few musky guys on our show over the last 7 years, and I think the first guy we had in studio was someone that you are friends with, I believe, and I've been a fan of his since day one, is Colt Ringer.
Oh, awesome. Yes, when she was referring to the underwater camera we were using, Colt actually owns AquaView.
Yep. Right.
And that's what we were using. She was calling it something a little different, and so there's no...
I had a feeling it was AquaView.
Infringements or anything that we're dealing with, hopefully. But, this thing, that comes with 100-foot of cable, and we're out in 70-foot of water. And these things, they come up. If you have a 48-inch barracuda on, we'll use the whole thing. Just cut the tail off, and they drop down. Wow. These things bite them, and they swallow them in one gulp. It's a 4-pound bass with a fat head minnow. I mean, it's just like... You feel this thump on your line, and you set the hook, and instantly they've got this entire thing. So crazy. And Owen was watching the camera when that thing came up and bit it, and he's like, I think I see something. And all of a sudden he like screams, and he's like, it's gone. The bait's gone. just scared the crap out of him. But, in one gulp, they got it. And there's a number of fish on these spots, so it's kind of a competitive thing. The first fish there gets the meal, so they aren't messing around. It's competing with the herd.
How often are you down there, and you've been to this area to fish before?
So the boat I bought is from Ben Olson, and he guides muskies in Minnesota in the summer, and then he guides saltwater in the winter. So usually when he first goes down in December, I try and get a 4 or 5 day slot with him, and then again every spring I do another 4 or 5 day trip. So I try and get 10 days a year, and on any given day, we will catch more pounds of fish than my whole freshwater season combined.
What a thrill. Talking about fresh.
Regan, her first day down there, so she got that fish. Her last fish of the day was a 350-pound Goliath. she ended up with, I think a 20-pound African pompano, which is better than any fish you've ever eaten. She got big barracuda, nice amberjack. So she ended up over 1,000 pounds for her first day of saltwater fishing.
How long have you been Regan's stepfather?
A little over 3 years.
Boy, I'm glad for both of you because she loves it, you love it, and it's just working out. You're blessed. Like I told you before, I'm a stepfather as well. I've got 3 kids and raised them to love the outdoors as well. So I'm so glad for both you guys. Let's talk a little bit. We got about 3 minutes here. Let's talk about your background. You were fishing. Oh, I didn't know that, Mark. I'm sorry. Just tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, so I started the Minnesota Muskie Guides Association probably 22 or 23 years ago. I've guided locally now with the family. That becomes a back burner type item. But I've just been passionate about muskies in Minnesota, muskies in Canada. And so that's been my real thing for the past 25 years is just putting time in wherever I can get to. And I'm always targeting the biggest fish we can get, whether it's muskies or perch, saltwater, wherever I'm at. I'm just trying to get the best of what's available.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark and I, as a result of this radio show, we do all we can to take advantage of our guests. And you're one of them, pal. We've never caught a muskie. And if you got some time and you got no one to go with, give me a call. I'll
even pay you.
We'd love to go musky fishing with you. Paul Hartman, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsmen, and thanks for being such a great guy and introducing us to Regan as well. that's what makes this show fun. I appreciate having you on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Well, thank you guys very much. Enjoy your summer. Stay safe.
Every day's a gift. Take care, Paul. Thanks very, very much. Boy, there's a nice guy. You know, that's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Great talker. Good guess.
Yeah, boy, what an experience for everybody. Go ahead, got some shout-outs?
Yeah, we have a little time left here, so I'm going to name our shout-outs. Thank you for everyone that wrote in and people that write in every week. My friend Charles Bryan, who lives in Virginia, I believe, is checking in. Chad Daniels says, Hometown Hero Outdoors held its golf outing at the Refuge Golf Club on Thursday, then had 40 people to Mille Lacs fishing on McCoy's Event Center in on Friday. Stu, you got to check this picture out. He's got a golf outfit like you did. Remember those purple knickers?
Yeah.
Daniel Meyer says, Hometown Hero Doors got 5 out last Sunday on Lake Erie, chasing walleye with Gypsy Lynn Fishing Charters, and Monday celebrated 32 years of service for a retiring Army Master Sergeant. Congratulations. Boy, those guys are out there doing it. Our friend Bill Katz says, listening at home this week, cabin next week. Jake Shaw says, maybe one of these days I'll make my way up, Mark, if you have some room in that Alumacraft. I'll always have room for you, Jake. Let's see. He's got some nice fish pictures here. Jiggin' Jim.
From State Farm?
Yeah. Jiggin' Jim Taxidermy says, doing some taxidermy, finished a 5-plus-pound smallmouth bass for a 12-year-old boy. That's great.
Wow. Good
Renee friend. Splett says, on vacation on cab. The wind is terrible, but we are catching eaters. And that's all we got now.
No, we got Katie Courget.
Oh, yeah.
No, Katie Courget, when she found out that Paul Hartman was going to be on, apparently she has some past communications with Paul, and she was all excited to hear Paul on the show tonight. So, Paul Hartman, you got a fan, and Katie Courget. So she says hi. Hey, Mark, you got something going on in a couple of days, right?
What's going on? Up on Tuesday with the family, my father, my sister's family, all up to McGregor area. I'm going to stay at Big Sandy Resort on Big Sandy Lake. I'm really excited. I spent a lot of time next to that on Glacier Lake last year and always drove by Big Sandy, never fished it. I've only been on it to eat pizza at Zorba's. But I'm really excited to check out the lake. I'm getting some tips from our good friends, Shannon and John. Hopefully they can put me on some spots so I can take my father and my sons out and catch some fish. I bought a new tube today, too.
Really?
Those things are expensive.
I'd say
about... You thought fishing was expensive?
That tube cost $150.
More than that.
Really? To pull a kid around in a...
It was like $190, and it was one of the cheaper ones.
Put him in a life jacket and tie a rope around him. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's crazy. But wow. So you thought fishing was expensive.
And all the kids are going to do is cry. You know that.
Probably.
If you don't make them cry, you're not going fast enough. Yeah. One of those things. Yeah.
So I'm really excited to do that. You'll hear more about that and more next week when we have everyone in studio.
Yeah. And we'll talk about my brand new go-kart. I got to tell you that story.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah, tell you what, thanks for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen. Regan, thanks for being on. Paul Hartman, thanks for being on. Thanks for supporting this Four Outdoorsmen. We will support you in the meantime. My buddy Mark's got something to say.
Get outside this week and make some memories.